Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. Today's shir is sponsored by the Geisels family in memory of their mother, Shendel Bas Shaya Mendel, Aleha Shalom, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah from the Zuchus of our learning, and we thank the Geisels family very much for the sponsorship. We're holding on the bottom of daf Kuf Chaf Beis and Beis. We're four lines from the end of the page, and we were right in the middle of a discussion of what the Mishnah could possibly mean when it says Echra Ben VeEchra Bas Binachla, that both the son and the daughter get a nachla. This is something we already know, that both sons and daughters, each independently, are able to get a nachla, meaning that daughters get a nachla when there are no sons. What exactly is the chiddush of the Mishnah? So we had three suggestions yesterday and rejected all of them. Today we're going to begin with the fourth suggestion. Then the Gemara is going to move on to the halacha of pishnayim, and we're going to prove that the definition of pishnayim, that a bechor gets pishnayim, does not mean that he gets double of what all of the other brothers combined are going to receive, but rather that he gets double of what each individual brother is going to get. So if there are five other brothers, the Bukhar is going to get 2/6 of the Yerusha, and each of the others are going to get 1/6 of the Yerusha. But the Bukhar does not get double of what all the other brothers combined are going to get, and we're going to have several rayas that that is the case. Once we're talking about Bukhara, the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that the Bukhar, that the Chelek HaBukhar that Yaakov had to give to his children did not go to Reuven and instead went to Yosef. And also, once we're talking about Reuven and Yosef and Rachel and Leah, so we discuss what it means that Eine Leah Rakos, that her eyes were Rakos, and what it means about Rachel, that she was a Tzenua, and because of that, she was Zocha to Yosef receiving the Bechora. The Gemara is then going to account for the discrepancy in the number of Jewish people that there were, and the number of Bnei Yaakov that there were, that came into Mitzrayim. Was it 69, or was it 70? Then the Gemara is going to discuss why did Yaakov only want to return home after Yosef was born. What was it about the birth of Yosef that gave him the confidence or the desire to want to go back home? And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that gives several cases where Bechor gets Pishnayim, even though it doesn't seem like it's Muchzak. It seems like cases of Ra'ui, of things that are Ra'ui to come to the person, but are not yet Muchzak Biado, and nevertheless we still say that the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. So let's begin. Ella Omar Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Four lines from the bottom of the page. Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. So again, we're trying to explain what does it mean when the Mishnah says Echra Ben Vechra Bas Binachla, that both the son and the daughter get a Yerusha. So Ella Omar Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Hachi Kamar. Echra Ben Vechra Bas Shavin Binichseya Aim U Binichseya Av. Both a son and a daughter will yarshin both the mother and the father. Meaning, if a daughter is yarshining because there are no sons, or a son is yarshining, either way, they'll yarshin not only the father's estate, but they'll yarshin the mother's estate as well. Ella Shaben Notel Pishnaim Binchseav Notel Pishnaim Binchseim. The only difference is between yarshining the father and yarshining the mother is that the son who is entitled to Pishnaim because he's the Bukhar will only be entitled to Pishnaim in the father's estate, not in the mother's estate. The daughter will never be entitled to Pishnaim. There's no Din Bukhar by a daughter. But the son who is entitled to Pishnaim, because there is a Din Bukhar, even that is limited. That only goes for the father's estate, not for the mother's estate. So period, that's the last, that's the final and accepted explanation of that line in the Mishnah, Vechra ben Vechra bas benachla. Says Gemara further now, Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa. Laseis lo pishnayim, pishnayim ke'echad. Pishnayim means he gets double what any single individual brother is going to get. How do I know that's true? Maybe, no matter how many brothers there are, all of the nechassim should be divided into three parts, and the Bukhar should get 2/3 of all the nechassim, and the other brothers should split the last third. Whether it's one other brother or 10 other brothers, they should all split that last third. Vidinu, and you could make a logical argument as follows. Chalko im echad, he splits with one brother, v'chalko im chamisha, and if he has five brothers, he splits it with them as well. Ma chalko im echad pishnayim ke'echad, just like when he splits with one brother, he gets double what that one brother gets. Av chalko im chamisha pishnayim ke'echad, so too when he splits with five brothers, he should get double what each one of the brothers gets, but not what they all get together. Oh, kal chalu derech zu, or maybe we should look at it from a different perspective. Chalko im echad v'chalko im hei, he divides divides it with one brother and he divides it with five brothers. But maybe we should read it as follows. Machalko emechad pishnayim b'kala nechasim. Just like when he divides with one brother, he gets pishnayim of all of the nechasim. He gets 2/3 of the nechasim in their entirety. Avchalko emhe pishnayim b'kala nechasim. So maybe when he divides with five brothers, he should also get pishnayim of kala nechasim, of all the nechasim together. Tamalomer, that's what the pasuk says. V'haya b'yom menchilo asbanav. Hatar ripsa nachla etzel achin. That the Torah specifically refers to nachla by the brothers. That the Torah is giving extra nachla to the other brothers. So ha'ena lech ladun kaloshna achron ella kaloshna rishon. So that's how we know that not to read it the second way we wanted to read it, where he gets pishnayim of all the brothers combined, but rather the first way of reading it, that he gets pishnayim of any single brother. How do we darshan from this pasuk? Rashbam points out on the top, v'haya b'yom menchilu esbanav kulei kra yaseiruhu. The whole thing is an extra pasuk. Daksiv basrei ki asabchar ben asnu yakir lasis lo pishnayim. So what's it telling? It's ripsa nachla shlo yitol pishnayim b'kol anachasim hecha di'ika shnayim v'gimlachim milvado. That you're not going to get pishnayim of all of the nachasim when there are two or three or more other brothers. But then the brisa continues. V'omer. And furthermore, we have a pasuk. Ubnei ru'uvein b'chor Yisrael ki yu ha'b'chor b'chalol yitzuei aviv nasan b'charasal v'nei Yosef ben Yisrael v'lo l'syachis l'b'chora. That Reuven was the b'char. He is the b'char. Yosef, because Reuven, however, flipped around the beds of his father, so therefore he's not going to get the chelek b'chara anymore. But as far as yichus is concerned, he's still going to be called the b'char. If you look at Rashbam, lo l'siyachis al b'chara lo sheyikra b'char nitna lo b'chara. It's not that Yosef is going to be called the b'char d'liolim Reuven kari b'char Yisrael. Reuven is still going to be called the b'char Yisrael elitol shnei chalakim k'b'char. It's just that Yosef is the one that gets pishnayim because of what Reuven had done. Omer, and another pasuk, ki Yehuda gavar be'achav l'nagid mimenu v'abachor l'Yosef. That the Bechorah went to Yosef. Nemr Bechorah l'Yosef, Nemr Bechorah l'Doros. We have a Bechorah that says specifically by Yosef, and we have Bechorah of Lomishpat HaBechorah in general that goes l'Doros. Ma Bechorah hamur l'Yosef pishnayim ke'echad, just like it's clear in the Pesukim, that there was this extra chelek of Bechorah that had to go to one of the Shvatim, and initially was destined to go to Reuven, but then it went to Yosef, and that clearly is a second chelek klape in an individual brother, not that one brother was going to get 2/3 of the entire Eretz Yisrael, and then the other Shvatim were going to divide up Eretz Yisrael evenly. No, one of the Shvatim was going to get twice the chelik of Eretz Yisrael of each individual brother. Saf b'char amur l'doros pishnayim kechad. That's the din of b'char in general as well. When a firstborn son gets pishnayim, it's double what any of the other brothers are going to get, but not double what all of the other brothers combined are going to get. V'omer v'ani nesati l'chashchem echad alachecha shalakakti miyad amori b'char biyu b'kashti. That I'm going to give you shchem echad alachecha, that two chalakim connected your brothers. Because from that which I took, becharbiu bekashti. So frak the gemara, becharbo bekashto lokach. Did he take anything with his sword and with his bow and arrow? Valokvar nemar ki lo bekashti eftach becharbi lo toshieni. It's not my cherev, it's not my keshes that I rely on and that saves me. Elecharbi zu tefila, kashti zu bakasha. Charbi is tefila, kashti is bakasha. That's how we really get Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was mespalel that his children should be able to be zocha, to be yorish Eretz Yisrael, and to not end up in the hands of Esav. And how did he defeat Esav? Becharbo bekashto, but not literally becharbo bekashto, with tfilos and with bakashos. The Acharon explain why is it that tfilos and bakashos are nimshal to a cherev and a keshes. In what way are tfilos and bakashos like a sword and like a bow for a bow and arrow? So the Marsha explains that cherev is the tfilah Biad Yaakov is like the cherev Biad Esav, that Val Charbucha Tichya was the bracha of Esav, and for Yaakov the counterpoint was Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim De Esav, that the kol of Yaakov is going to overpower the cherev of Esav. So what defeats the sword? It's the kol of Yaakov, it's the tefillah. Similarly, the bakasha of Yaakov is going to help against Yishmael, because Yishmael was Ochez Bekeshes Vayirova Keshes. So what defeats the keshes of Yishmael? It is the it is the tefillah of Yaakov. So it's all about tefillah. It's just we use the term Bakasha, because that sounds more like Keshes. So, but the Tfilos of Yaakov are ultimately going to defeat the greatest weapons that our enemies have. The Maral in Gor Aryeh in Bereshis Perek Mem Ches explains that the Tfilah of its Tzadik is like a Cherev, because it's a Kora'as Kecherev Es Elyonim V'Tachtonim. It pierces like a sword, whereas the Tchina is like a Keshes, because it's Miskash. So it works like an arrow that goes very fast, great distances. So it has very lasting impact in further places than you would imagine it would be able to. That is the power of tefillah. So the Achronim work on other explanations as well of what it is about the Cherev and the Keshes. But again, Pasha Pshat is that that's what we're able to defeat our enemies with. So my Viomer, we just quoted this whole long Brisa. What were we trying to prove? That when a Bechor gets Pishnayim, he does not get double the amount of all the other brothers combined. He gets double the amount of any individual brother. Why do I need all these extra Psukim in the Brisa? Because V'chite Ma'ailich Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Hu Da'asa, if you were just going to be satisfied with the first, if you were not going to be satisfied with the first pasuk that we quoted, because you would say that no, that's teaching us the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was one that we learned about yesterday, who had said that if a guy says about one of his children who's Ro'i Liyarsho that he wants that one to get all of the Yerusha and not the others, so maybe that's what it's teaching us. Tashema ubnei Reuven b'chor Yisrael. That's why we need a second pasuk ubnei Reuven b'chor Yisrael. V'chitema b'chora mi b'chorasa lo garminan. And if you're not satisfied with that either, because you can't learn Bechora from Bechora, so those two words are not similar enough. Tashma va Bechora li Yosef. That we learn from the word Bechora that it says by Yosef. The Ritva raises the question, you know, the rules of Gzera Shava are that the words don't have to be exactly the same words. They only need to be similar. V'shava kohen uvaha kohen. Shav and va are not even similar, it's just that they mean similar things, and yet that's enough to learn Gzera Shava. So why would we assume that Bechora So and Bechora is not sufficiently similar to learn Gzera Shava? So the Ritva points out that you have to say this is not really Gzera Shava. This is what we call a Gilui Milsa, to learn Sasu Min HaMefurash, that in one place it's very clear what the Bechora means, in the other place it's not as clear. So we say this is the definition of Bechora, but not that it's Gzera Shava where you're just taking two random words and linking them together and therefore linking the Parshios together. For that you need a Mesora. For that it has to be something that's Mekubal from Moshe Rabbeinu, from your Rebbeim. So that has to be since that comes b'mesora, it has that strength that it comes b'mesora. It doesn't have to be the exact word. But when you're trying to learn Sasa Min HaMefurash, we're using our own logic, and it's not something that's coming b'mesora. We're just trying to figure out a Gilui Milsa, so that the words cannot be off at all. You can't have Bechora from Bechora. So as a V'chi Tema Yosef Gufei Mimai De Pishnayim Ke'echot. Well, wait a second, you might still ask, how do I know that Yosef himself got Pishnayim Ke'echad Tashma, V'ani Nesati L'cha Shechem Echad Alachecha? That Shechem Echad Alachecha is clearly only one extra portion over the other brothers. Amler Papla Abaye, Eima Dikla Bialma. How do I know that Shechem Echad means an entire extra portion? Maybe it means one extra token. He gets one extra dekel tree over all the other brothers. So Amalei Alecha Makra, Ephraim U'Menashe, Reuven v'Shimon yili. Yaakov says Ephraim and Menashe are Reuven v'Shimon, meaning just like Reuven, Shimon each get a chelek of the Yerusha, Ephraim and Menashe each get a chelek of the Yerusha, which leaves Yosef with Pishnayim. Once we're on the topic of Yosef and Yaakov diverting the Bechora from Reuven to Yosef, so let's discuss that story a little bit. What was it that encouraged Yaakov to make this decision to take the firstborn rights away from Reuven and give them instead to Yosef? The pasuk says, the Navi tells us, it was because Reuven moved Yaakov's bed. That's why he was punished by losing the chelek habechora. No, that's not the question. It was rather elamar ra'a shenasan liyosef. why was it that he gave it to Yosef? Meaning, well, why not give it to someone else? What is it about Yosef that Yosef deserved this bechara? We give a mashal as follows. Imagine a person adopts a child. He takes a yasam, someone who doesn't have parents, and he adopts him, and he takes care of him, and he raises the child. And that kid grows up, and he makes it. He becomes very wealthy, and he wants to help someone out with his money. The first priority of who he's going to want to take care of is the person who raised him, the person who took in this yasum. The yasum is going to want to take care of that adopted parent. So similarly, you have over here with Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov is like the child, is like the yasum, and Yosef, ironically, is like the person who took him in, because Yosef had all this money. He became very wealthy, and he took care of Yosef took care of Yaakov in Yaakov's time of need, because Yaakov had no food. So when Yaakov had what to give, when he had a Yerusha to give, and he had to give to all of his children, he decided that he's going to give a little bit extra to Yosef, because Yosef had taken care of him when he was starving. So if not for the fact that Reuven had sinned, so there never would have been an opportunity for Yaakov to repay Yosef for that kindness of providing the family with food. Rabbi Yonasan, your Rebbe, said a different pshat. Why it is that Yosef was zocha to the bechora? Reuven, really, the bechora should have come from Rachel. Dechsev Eila toldos Yaakov Yosef. That the toldos Yaakov starts with Yosef. So the bechora should have come from Yosef, from Rachel. El shekadmus Leah berachamim, but Leah davened first. So since Leah davened first, she was zocha to have the bechora come from her. Umitoch tznius shaisa b'barachel chsira kadosh baruch hula. So even though Leah was able to preempt Rachel with her tefilos, but because of the tremendous tznius that was demonstrated by Rachel, Hakadosh Baruch Hu allowed Rachel to get the bechora back. My kadam to Leah berachamim. What does any of this mean? What does it mean that Leah preempted Rachel with rachamim? The pasuk says that the eyes of Leah were rakos. My rakos. What does rakos mean? Ilem rakos mamish, that her eyes were like puffy and not nice. Efshar begnus peimatmeilu dibarakasov. Tichsiv min abeima torah min abeima sher einena torah. If the Torah doesn't even want to speak negatively about a behema tmeya, it doesn't even want to call it a behema tmeya. It calls it a behema einena tahora, asher einena tahora. Begnus tzadikim dibarakasov. You think the pasuk is going to speak about the gnus of the tzaddikim? That's all sugya at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim Dav Gimel, where the Gemara goes through several psukim, several times, where the Torah goes out of its way to not use a lashon that's not so clean and pristine. So this is one of the examples where ike makosuv, the Torah goes out of its way, 8 letters, to not say the words Behemoth Tmeah. Although over here it seems like it's a little bit of a different drasha. Over there it's more about the speaker, that when you speak, you're not supposed to speak in a lashon that's not so naki. Over here it seems it's not so much about speaking, it's not about the speaker, it's about that which is being spoken of, that you never want to speak negatively of something, and it is not nice, it's just a negative way of referring to something as a Behemoth Tmeah. So we don't even want to refer to a behemoth that way. You think the Torah is going to refer to Leah in that way? You're not supposed to speak negatively of Leah, certainly. Elo amar Rav Lazar shemat noseha aruchos. What it means, rakos, is aruchos, that there were long-lasting gifts that came from her descendants, that she had the malchus, the kahuna, descend from her children. So that's the matnoseha aruchos. Rav amar liolam rakos mamish. Rav says, no, it means that her eyes were puffy and she was crying and she didn't look so nice, but v'lo g'nai hula, ela shevach hula. That's not a g'nai, that's the greatest shevach. It's like if you see an old sefer that's all worn out and that the pages are well worn and they're like a little bit bit frayed on the edges. That you may say, well, it's not in pristine condition. But why isn't it in pristine condition? It's because it's been used so much. That's not a knife for the sefer. That's a shevach for it. So similarly, you have Leah. Yeah, maybe on the outside, you physically look at her appearance. It's not so. She's not automatically so beautiful. That's not a gnai, though. How did she get that way? What was she crying about? That ultimately is going to be the greatest shevach. Sheisa shoma'as al prashas drachim, b'nei adam sheyomrim, shnei banim yesh l'rivka, shnei banos yesh l'lavan, gedol l'gadol, l'ktana l'katan. She used to always hear people talking about her family, and they would say, oh, Rivka has these two sons, Lavan has these two daughters. Wouldn't it be beautiful? Wouldn't it make perfect sense if the older one married the older one, and the younger one married the younger one? V'yisi yosheves al prashas drachim, mashal es gadol ma'masav. So she wanted to know about her chasen. So she would ask, nu, what's the story with the gadol? Ish rahu melastim brios. Oh, he's a bad man, and he's a bandit, and he does these terrible things. And then she would ask the follow-up question, katan ma'masav. What happens with it? What's the story with the katan? Ish tam yoshev ohalim. He is a tzaddik. And that would cause her to cry until her eyelashes fell out. And that's why the pasuk says that Hashem saw that Leah was hated. My snua, what does snua mean? Ilem snua mamish. It means literally she was hated. It can't be. The Torah would never say something so terrible about her that she was hated. It's that Hashem saw how much she despised the actions of Esav, and that's why Hashem listened to her tefillah. So all of that was a long way of answering the question, what does it mean that Leah was kadma berachamim? That really Rachel should have gotten the Bechor in the first place. Default position, Rachel was the one that should have had the Bechor. But Leah davened so much because of this concern that she was going to have to marry Esav, and that's why instead HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her Reuven as the Bechor. But then it was shifted back to Rachel. Why was it shifted back to Rachel? Because of Rachel's incredible tznius. So let's do that, and then we'll go back to discuss a lot of points over here. My tznius haisa ba b'Rachel. What was this tznius of Rachel that Rachel had it had the Bechor shifted back to her children? Yaakov told Rachel that he is her father's brother and that he is the son of Rivka. But wait a second, that relationship doesn't work out. Yaakov was not her father's brother. Yaakov was the son of her father's sister. So how could he say that he is her father's brother? Rather, Yaakov had proposed to Rachel, marry me. She said, of course I want to. But trust me, it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. My father is able to deceive anybody. This is what he does for a living. It's not going to happen. Something is going to come up where my father is going to outsmart you. You're not going to be able to work it out. So he said, why do you think he's going to want to trick me out of marrying you? Meaning, granted, he's a deceitful person, but why over here? Why wouldn't he want to marry you off? Because I have an older sister. And he's not going to let me get married before my older sister. So Yaakov says, oh, for that, I'll be able to outsmart him. Now that I know what to be on guard for, that he's going to try to sneak in your sister, I'll figure out a way to make sure that I don't get your sister, that I get you. So right away, Rachel says, wait a second, now I'm not sure if I want to marry you anymore. You're going to be as achiv b'ramos, you're going to be as deceitful as my father. I'm not interested. I was hoping for an ish tam yoshev olim. I wanted a nice boy. So Yaakov says, no, you're allowed to do this. When you're dealing with a deceitful person, you're allowed to act in an underhanded manner as a way of outsmarting him, of beating him at his own game. So the plan Yaakov came up with was to give Rachel simanim. When Lavan snuck Leah in Rachel's place, Rachel started to think, now my sister's going to be embarrassed. So she gave her over those simanim. And that's what it means when it says that in the morning it turned out that she was Leah. What, she only became Leah in the morning? She was Leah the entire time. Elimitok Simonim Shemasal Yaakov Larachel Masata Leia Loviyadala Adi Shaita. But because of the Simonim that Yaakov had given to Rachel and Rachel had then given them to Leah, Yaakov wasn't onto it until that moment, till the next morning. Only then did Yaakov realize that she was in fact Leah. You know, this idea that not wanting to give the younger daughter before the older one, we just had a couple of dapim ago where the Gemara seemed to say that the Benos Slavchar are listed in different orders because when it comes to them getting married, it goes in age order. And the Rashbam over there said, yes, because that's the way it's supposed to be. That lo ye'asa kein b'mekomenu, lasis is a bechira lefnei atzi'ira. That's correct. And in fact, Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin tells us that Rabbeinu Tam was once asked a shaila. A guy says, I want to be mekadesh your daughter. And we don't know which daughter he means. So because of lo ye'asa kein b'mekomenu, lasis is a bechira lefnei atzi'ira, we have the right to assume b'toras vaday that only the older one is mekadesh and not the younger one. Not even suffik, vaday, because of this statement of Lavan. So Lavan wasn't doing anything, forget about Lavan doing something so terrible over here. What was Yaakov thinking? How was Yaakov allowed? So some of the Achronim, when they deal with such shailas, they say, look, you can't take this too seriously because Yaakov obviously didn't paskin that way. Look, Yaakov was willing to forego that halacha and marry Rachel before Leah was married. But Tosfos takes it seriously, Rabbeinu Tam took it seriously, Rashbam, in understanding the Bnos Slavchad, took it seriously that there is such an inyan that the younger one is not supposed to get married before the older one. The Marsham, in his commentary on Chumash, suggests that Yaakov himself became a Bechor. Why did Yaakov feel that he was entitled to Bechorah? So Rashi and Chumash explains that when there are twins, the first one that's born was the last one that was conceived. So Yaakov held himself to be the Bechor. Yaakov held himself, he held that it goes after conception, not that it goes after birth, and that's why he felt that he was entitled to the Bechor. Says Marsham, Rachel and Leah were also twins. They were not years apart from each other. That's why he could so easily confuse them. Some of them were identical twins. He didn't realize till the next morning who it was. How does he not realize? They were twins. So it could be that Leah was born first, but Yaakov Lishitaso held that the Bechorah in fact was Rachel. And Lavan says, Lo yasa kein b'mekomenu. That's not the way we do the Cheshbon in our place. In our place, the way we do the Cheshbon is who was born first and not who came out first. There's a whole discussion in the poskim. There are a lot of tshuvas on this topic because it happens often that an older sister will not find the shidduch yet, and the younger sister already has, or an older brother and the younger sister, comes up. These kinds of things come up all the time. So there's a whole discussion in the poskim, like what the yisod of this din is. Why is it that it should be that way? That the younger sibling has to wait for the older sibling. So some understand it as a chiyuv of kavodach v'agadol. That just like you have a chiyuv to be mechabed the oldest brother as a chelik of potentially possibly a chelik of kibra ve'aim. So this is part of like a mini kibra ve'aim. That you honor an older sibling. Others understand that it's not about honor. Maybe there's no chiyuv to honor every older sibling. That's only the oldest brother that there's a chiyuv to honor. But maybe it's a din in busha and sar that you can embarrass and humiliate the older sibling because they haven't found a shidduch and now the younger sibling is already getting married. So maybe it's a din in busha and sar so that it's a negative, not a positive. But Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva and Rav Asher Weiss writes this way in Milchas Asher. The tshuva. A lot of the poskim are mechavin to the same idea. It's not a din of kavod, not a din of busha and sar. It's a din as follows. Whenever you have two mitzvos that you have to do, so you always have to have orders of priority. You have to figure out which one goes first. You have the Gemara in Maseches Brachos talks about. You have musaf and mincha. You haven't davened musaf yet. It's ready. The zman mincha. What should you do first? Should you do musaf first because it's the zman is overus according to Rabbi Yehuda. You only have till 7 hours. Or should you do mincha first because tadir v'sheinu tadir? So there are rules. Tadir v'sheinu tadir. There are rules of what goes first. Says Rav Moshe, Rav Asher Weiss, all these poskim, that the whole din of giving the older one before the younger one is only when they're both ready to get married. If they're both ready to get married, they both have who to marry, they're both ready, so then the older one goes before the younger one, because there just has to be some din kedima. So you're going to get them married on the same day, let the older one get married first. But if one of them is ready to get married and the other one's not ready to get married, one of them found the shidduch, the other one didn't find the shidduch, so what, the older one's going to say, no, that's my shidduch? Why is that your shidduch? That's the younger one. So that there's no din of kedima. So with that one kula, Rav Moshe, with that one way of viewing the whole situation, Rav Moshe turns out being makel on almost every case. ways. Because when is it by Yaakov and Rachel? Leah really wanted Yaakov, and that marriage could have worked out. As Haraya, it did. So, but rarely does the older sister say, "No, I want my younger sister's chassid. That's the guy that I want." So that doesn't. Then there are other issues, but that's not the common case. It's also interesting. The Gemara says that Leah asked, "What's the story with the older one?" "Oh, he's a terrible Rasha." She wasn't crying yet. Then she says, "And the younger one, a tzaddik." Now all of a sudden she's crying. So the Ben Yoyada asks, "That's terrible. She should have been happy for her sister when she found out the younger one was a tzaddik. Why would that cause her to cry that the younger one was a tzaddik?" So Ben Yoyada says so beautifully. He says, you know, similar to what Yaakov withholding Dina from Esav, that he's taken to task for that because maybe Dina could have been machziras l'mutav. That the power of a tzaddikas to have an influence on a tzaddik, sometimes a person is a rasha because he's never been exposed to tzidkus. So Leah was thinking, you know what, if I have to marry Esav, it's okay, I'll have the strength to be able to turn him. I'll make him a tzaddik yet. But then she realized that he's been exposed to a tzaddik his entire life. He grew up with a tzaddik, and that wasn't machziras l'mutav. Why would she think that she'd be able to do it if growing up in the same house with the Yaakov Avinu didn't do it? So that's why she asked, what about his other brother? What about his contemporary? And that's why she realized that she wasn't going to be able to do anything about it. There's also a discussion of this idea that you can act beramaus with a ramai, that you can act deceitfully with someone who is a deceitful person. There's a Gemara Masechta Bava Kama of Chavzayin and Beis that Ben Bagbag Omer. Ben Bagbag says the Gemara talks about over there about Avedinish Dina Lenafshe, that a person could sometimes take the law into his own hands. Gemara tells a story. There were two people that shared a bar of water and only produced X amount of water each day. One guy gets Sunday, the other guy gets Monday, the next guy gets Tuesday, Wednesday, they switch off, alternate. One guy was taken on the other guy's day, and he said, "Get out of here, it's my day, I'm not leaving." So he beats him over the head with a broomstick until he leaves. And you're allowed to do that, that's okay. Gemara says, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. When you know you're right, and this guy has no right being there, you're allowed to go and punch him in the face, get him out of there. So Ben Bagbag says, the Gemara quotes the Shita of Ben Bagbag, if someone has something of yours, you're not allowed to break into his house, sneak into his house, and take it away. Rather, what do? You go and you punch him in the face and take shavara shinov v'amrlo shali ani notel. You break his teeth and say, "I'm taking mine." But don't sneak, because if you sneak, then people are going to say that you're a ganav. And that you're not supposed to. Al tira alav ki ganav. Don't act like a ganav. Don't act in a sneaky way. So apparently, it's not about the avera of taking something, because this belongs to you. You're allowed to take it. And even if it means extreme measures like assaulting another person, for whatever reason, you're allowed to do that in certain circumstances. Yet, to act in a sneaky way, we're not going to allow. So a number of the Achronim are bothered. How does that fit with our Gemara? Our Gemara says that with a terrible person, you're allowed to be sneaky, and that's what Yaakov was doing. He was being sneaky. So some say, no, we don't pass like Ben Bagbag. It's a Das Yachid, so we don't pass in that way. Others say, no, with a regular person who's a Baltaiva, who did an Aveira, you shouldn't act in that way. But if you're trying to deal with a person who himself is such a Ramai, then you are allowed to act in such a way. But that's what we discussed a little bit on Shabbos HaGadol. Those who have the issue of issues with stealing the Afikomen, not to do anything that involves being sneaky, and then there can't even be mechila on it, because it's an avera bin adam la'atzmo, that it's just teaching yourself bad midos when a person teaches himself to be sneaky. That's not a good thing. It's not a good mida for a person to have. Better to be straightforward, even if that involves more aggression. Better to be straightforward than to be backhanded. Okay, let's go further. Says the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Baymina Abba Khalifa Kuruya Me Rabbi Chia Baraba. In general, when the Torah says how many people came down to Mitzrayim, it was 70. But then when it lists all the people that came down to Mitzrayim, it was 69. So how do we resolve that discrepancy? Dina had a twin. Dina Bito. The S teaches is the twin that was with Dina. Elameata Tumayis and Binyamin. Well, Binyamin then also had a twin. Dechsiv ve'es Binyamin Achiv ve'nimo. It says ve'es by Binyamin as well. So don't tell me that then it should have been 71, not 70. The Tosus points out Ubi Alma Amrinin Tiyuma Hisayim Kolash Vatim. Tosus points out on Amud Aleph that we always say that every twin, that every Shevet had a twin. So we're obviously not counting the twins into the Cheshbon. Otherwise, there would be way more than 70. So how do we account for this discrepancy? Amar Margolis Toiva Hisa Biyadi Va'atam Vakish La'avda Mimeni. He says, I had this really special teaching that I thought was all mine and I wasn't going to have to share with anyone. And now you're making me lose it. I have to tell you now what the real answer is. La'avda Mimeni. Kilomer says Rashbam legalosa la'cherim ulechabev hatam haya omer kein. Meaning Rashbam says, of course, sharing Torah, you're not losing it. When you share Torah, you know what? You're learning it better because every time you share it, you know it better. First, you have to crystallize it in your mind so that you could share it in a clear way. You're not losing Torah when you share it with Zayah. That's why it's compared to like a ner, that a ner goes from one to the other. The first candle doesn't get extinguished when it lights another candle. So Rashbam says, no, it was an expression. It was a way of saying that this is such a spectacular vart that you better pay careful attention. That's the style when a person is teaching and they want the Talmidim to appreciate the value of what they're giving, so they talk it up first. If you only came to the shiur for this one idea, then it's worth it. So that just you can't overuse that, but that you can't say it every 3 seconds, but that gets people's attention sometimes when you get them to focus. So Amar Margolis Tova Yisabiyadi Vatim Bakish Lav Dem Meni. So he says, here's the Margolis Tova that you're trying to make me lose. Hach Yamar It's the 70th person was Yocheved, who was conceived on the road and was born Beina Chomos. She was born between the walls. So that's the 70th person. Shnemer Asher Yolda Osa LeLevi B'Mitzrayim. Leidasa B'Mitzrayim Ve'in Harasa B'Mitzrayim. Her Leida was in Mitzrayim, but her conception was not in Mitzrayim. So based on that, that's how we figure out that she was 130 years old when she conceived Moshe. That's the famous kasha on the Eben Ezra, that the Eben Ezra asks, that according to the answer of the Gemara, that Yocheved was born Bein HaChomos, it turns out that she was 130 when Moshe was born. And we make such a big deal about the fact that Sarah was able to conceive Yitzchak at the age of 90. This is 40 years more impressive than that at the age of 130. So the Ramban quotes this kasha from the Eben Ezra, and he says that the Pasuk doesn't tell us every nes. It only tells us nisim that are done al yidei Navi, who's misnave about it originally. So Malach was megala that this is going to happen, and then look, it actually happened. That's all the yisodos haTorah al yidei nisim. But the Torah doesn't tell us every single nes that ever happened. It tells us dafka, that which was predicted in advance. So that's why it doesn't mention it. Rabbi Chelbo asked the following question from Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Ksiv ayi kasher yalda Rachel es Yosef, maishna ki es yalid Yosef. It says that when Rachel gave birth to Yosef, that's when Yaakov says, okay, it's time to return. It's time to return back home. The pasuk continued. Vayomer Yaakov elavan shalcheni ve'elchel mekomi la'artzi. That's when Yaakov says, I want to go back to my land. I want to go back home. So why dafka when Yosef was born? Now all of a sudden Yaakov gets homesick when Yosef was born. So Amalei Ra Yaakov Avinu she'ein zara shalesav nimsar ela biyad zara shal Yosef. Yaakov knew that he was only going to be able to defeat Esav with Yosef. It was only Yosef that was going to be able to defeat Esav. Shenemar v'haya beis Yaakov eish ubeis Yosef lahava ubeis Esav lakash. Beis Yaakov is like the eish. Beis Yosef is a flame, and beis Esav lakash. Esav is like the flammable material, the straw that easily gets burnt by the flame. So he knew that Yosef was going to be the kalach, and the whole reason he was away from his parents' house because he was so terrified of Esav. When Esav was going to do to him, Esav wanted to kill him. Now he had the weapon to confront Esav. But doesn't say that David HaMelech defeated Amalek. David was not Mizara de Yosef. It's nice that you learned Nevi'im, but whoever taught you Nevi'im forgot to teach you Ksuvim, because in Ksuvim it's very clear how David managed to defeat Amalek. Belechto el Tziklag noflo lov mi Menasha adnach v'yozever v'yadiel v'michol v'yozever v'elu v'tzulasi rosh elav mashal Menasha. It's describes all these people from Shevet Menashe that enabled David to defeat Amalek, and that Menashe is obviously Yosef. It's the Zarid Yosef that actually did it. Masav Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef asked, but wait, Umehem in Bnei Shimon, Halchul Har Seir, Anashim Chamesh Meos, Platu, Nari, Rafayu, Vuzil, Ben Yishi, Berosham. It describes all these people from Bnei Shimon that were Vayaku, Esheiris, Hapletel, Amalek, Vyosh Shamad, Yomazeh, and they're the ones, it was the Bnei Shimon that enabled David to defeat Amalek. It was not the Bnei Yosef. So Amar Rabbi Bar Shila, Yishi mi Bnei Menashe asi. Dichsiv mi Bnei Menashe, Chefer v'Yishi. Yishi actually came from the Bnei Menashe. So even when it describes how the Bnei Shimon may have helped out, but it was primarily the Bnei Menashe that managed to defeat Yosef. Now it's interesting, we said, how do we know that Yosef is the secret weapon? Because Yosef is Lahava and Esav is Kash. But Yaakov is Eish. So the whole base Yaakov is Eish. So the Re'af on the Ein Yaakov asks, why does Yaakov need Yosef to defeat Esav through his Lahava? He himself is Nimshal Eish, and Eish can burn Kash as well. So he suggests that Yaakov is Nimshal Eish only when his Torah, when his children are learning Torah, which is Nimshal Eish. Only then is he able to defeat Esav al Yadei his Torah. Whereas when they're not learning Torah, then Yadayim Yadei Esav is going to defeat Yaakov. So that's why he needs the Lahava of Yosef to defeat Esav, even when they're not Oskim B'Torah, and they didn't have Torah to be Osik in yet at that point, so he needed Yosef in order to defeat Esav. Okay, but Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Tanur Rabbanan and at the Braisa.